Okay, we are now back in Malachim Beis, Parag Dalid, Pasuk Ches. Vayihi hayoyim, vayavar Elisha al Shunem. Elisha passed through a place called Shunem. Vesham Isha Gedayla, and there was an Isha Gedayla there, Vatachazek Boy, Lecha Lachem, Vayime de Avra Yasser Shama Lecha Lecha. So, Elisha went to this place, Shune. Yes. And there was an Isha Gedayla there. What's an Isha Gedayla? Rashi tells us, Chashuva. A Chashuva later, Gedayla's Chashuva. Rashi says, Pirka Derbelezer says that she was the sister of Avishag Hashunamis, also from Shunem. Avishag Hashunamis, with David HaMelech. So this was her sister, also in Shunem. The Radak says, Chashuva Balas Nechasin, Ubalat Hashem. Gedayla means that she was the chashuva lady, balas nechasim. She had a lot of nechasim. She was rich, uvalas shame, and she was a famous lady. It sounds like. Yeah, balas shame. And Targum Yonasan says, Dachalas chetin, she had yiras hachet. Yeah. Maybe that's what Rashi means. Chashuva, she was chashuv. Rashi doesn't go through the what chashuv means. Maybe he means in Ruchnias that she was yiras hachet. The Barbanel says Gedayla means she was the Akeres Habayis. So we'll see, we don't see much of her husband involved here too much, a little bit, but she was the one who ran things in the house.
Akeres meaning Ikra?
Right. And last but not least, the Alshach says she was old. Gedayla means she was old. This is a little integral to the story that, as we'll see, she didn't have a child, and it was really, she was past childbearing years. She was an old lady. Now, by Hi Hayoim, the famous Zohar tells us, what day was it?
Rosh Hashanah.
It was Rosh Hashanah, because the Zohar tells us that whenever it says in the Torah, Vayihi, is a Lashon
Tzah.
Vayihi Bimei is also Tsar. And Vayihi Hayoim is a day that has Tsar. What day is that, says the Zayar? The day of Rosh Hashanah, that there is a Dina Kashya Al Ha'olam. There is a severe, a harsh judgment on the world. So this was Rosh Hashanah. Now, in Halacha, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, this pasuk plays a very important role in deciding a certain Halacha. And that is, there are some Rishonim that hold that there is a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah. There are Rishonim that hold that it's a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So Yom HaDin, should fast. So one of the Mefarshim in Shulchan Aruch says that this pasuk is a proof against those Rishonim. Because it says here, the Zohar says it was Rosh Hashanah, and it sounds like from the pasuk that Elisha ate. Because it says, Vatachzik Balech Alechem, she tried to get him to eat. And from then on, he would always go and eat there. So therefore, says the Taz, that Elisha, if there was an Indian of fasting on Rosh Hashanah, Elisha would be doing it. So, must be, it's impossible to say there's a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah. That there's no mitzvah to fast. It can't be there's a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah. This is, the Taz brings this as a very strong proof. There are those who ask on the Taz and they say it doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk he ate. It says every other time he ate.
What could have been that it's a mitzvah to not cry?
No, Elisha, Ish Kaddish wouldn't do a mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't make sense. That's what they say. But the truth is, the Chidah says he doesn't really understand the proof. It doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk that he ate on Rosh Hashanah. It says every other time he came and he ate. It never says he ate.
Chidah
is the Chidah. Right, that's Chidah, yeah. Now the Chidah himself says, sort of, the Chidah was in the Sephardi, I would say, it's like a Rebbe Chidah Teretz, he says that Elisha's eating did a lot more than everyone else is fasting. So, you can't bring a proof from here that Elisha, that there's no mitzvah to fast, because Elisha ate, Elisha was such an Ish Kadosh, that when he ate, his eating was more chashuv and did more in ruchnius than other tzaddikim would do in their fasting. So therefore, you can't use Elisha as a proof just because he ate is not a proof that there's no mitzvah to fast. Everyone else who eats normally has to fast. What? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's also right. That's it. Even the Chassidish person I heard say over the Tarot says it's a Rebbe Tarot. So it's like they even say it like Pashup Shat, you know.
It's
not Pashup Shat. It's far-fetched. It's, you have to say, I mean, the concept exists. So they go, making that Chassidish. The Vilna Gaon's wife, right, once, she used to fast from Shabbos to Shabbos. Right? And one time, and she used to start her fast right after Havdalah. And the Gaon got upset at her. The Gaon got upset at her and told her that her eating Malava Malka does a lot more than all the fasts. So it's not just, you know, Chassidim didn't hijack the whole issue. What? Right, but you see, in the Indian of Achila, there's a concept of the eating can do more than a fast. I don't know if my Achilas Malava Malka does the same as someone else fasting, right? It's after the Achilas Shei Mitzvah. Achilas Mitzvah. The guy says somewhere that the Satan is the biggest Mekatrig in an Achilas Mitzvah. That's the most dangerous time. Not Stam eating. Eating of a Mitzvah is like the most dangerous time. The Satan is there. Time it up. I didn't say that. For Ruchnius, that's when the Satan is Mekatrig the most. Anyways, so again, it's not only Chassidish idea, but to put it into the chat over here against the Taz, that's okay.
If someone's eating on a fast day.
Yeah, not a good idea. So it's supposed to be fasting.
Okay. Right.
What does that mean?
So then what?
So then, is that
a mitzvah?
Mitzvah. They're not necessarily accomplishing what the fast was meant to accomplish. But he's saying here that with his eating, he was accomplishing more than the fast accomplished. Right? That's different type of eating. That's the ruchnius eating. That's it. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
So what should I do?
Yeah,
if you do it. Yeah.
If it's a kind of someone's fast, it would not be a mitzvah for them to fast.
Yeah, it's a mitzvah. Okay.
It's a mitzvah for them to eat. They can't fast.
Right. So do they get the same thing from
the fast? No, for the fast, I don't know. The fast, they're an einus. They're patur from the fast. I don't know.
So they're not getting what the fast
is. Could be.
What the fast.
Okay. But they're patur from getting that.
But that's not fair.
That's life. Life's not fair.
Shouldn't their eating make up for the fast?
It doesn't. It's a fact. can't compare someone's eating to someone's fasting, unless they're eating on such a level, like the guy says, like it's the mizbeach eating the lechem, you know. I don't know, I'm not that madrid.
I read that in the
Lechem
on the Torah, on the Shulchan, it said that if somebody eats, like, right, like when they're a lot of tigers, like let's say they like it a lot and they taste very good, like kind of like, and then they leave over and they eat like
kitty,
but not like full, like big full.
Yeah.
So then it's not like a
tiger. Right, that's the kind of survivor, too. Okay, yeah.
So she's really has not here, but she had a question that when Eliyahu laid down on the boy, so if he was a Kohen, then when the boy came back alive, right? No, nothing to do with the Kohen, but Elisha became Tami Mace, right?
Yeah.
And then whoever he touches becomes Tami, right?
Okay.
So the boy is Tami.
So?
Is he?
Let's say, I guess, I don't know, yeah. So good, so go to the mix, it'll be Tara, I don't know. Okay, fine, that is the Chida. The Chassam Sofer in Shulchan Aruch says an interesting thing. He says that even those who hold it's a mitzvah to fast, that's only if Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall out on Shabbos. But if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then there's no mitzvah to fast. Because Shabbos, you have to have Bainik Shabbos. So therefore, perhaps over here is talking about Rosh Hashanah that fell out on Shabbos. That's what the Chassam Sofer wants to say. It's not a clear proof from this pasuk. Okay, that's just to throw out the idea that this pasuk does play a role here in Halacha. So it was Vayia Yoim, he went there, Vatachzik Boilecha Lechem. The Rabag says not necessarily did she really know who Elisha was yet. Elisha wasn't a sparsim, but she was a big machnas ayrach. There were guests, and maybe she recognized that he's a ish kaddish, so she was machzikba and she tried to urge him to come and eat by her. Vahimi de avra yasir sham alech alechem, and when it would be whenever he would pass by in that city, so he would go to her to eat. Yeah?
Is this similar to the idea of when Moshe went back? Personality? Yeah.
Yeah.
That he stayed at the same...
Avram Avinu. Yes, it's the same idea. Some even want to say, Vatachzik, that she made him make a chazaka. Chazaka is three times. Once you do something three times, you should do it forever. So once it was Vatachzik, but three times she urged him to come, and she got him to come. So then, Vayimi De'avra, so then from then on, he always came. But yeah, that's the idea of not, you're supposed to go back to the same achsanya.
You have to?
What? You're supposed to, I don't know. Plus, there's a reason why not. The reason is people are going to say, if he went and stayed there one time, why is he not staying there another time? Must be it's bad over there. He can get good service. But there's a reason why people understand, so then it's not there's no problem. Fatimer Elisha. So she said to her husband, Hinei no yadati ki shalikim kadeshu. Behold, I know that this person is an ishalikim, and he's kadesh. Oyver aleinu tamen, and he's always constantly coming here.
She knew
it was Ish Kaddish. I don't know. By now, I guess she understood who he was. Rashi says, Chazal tell us how she knows. Whenever he ate, there was never a fly there. Similar, the Mefarshim say, similar to the Mizbeach also, it says that even though there was always the meat and the burning and the smell and this, there was never flies there. Because a fly is a sheret, a davar tameh, and davar tameh doesn't come anywhere near Kedusha. And therefore she noticed there were never flies around him, flies kept away from him, and that's a raya that he was an ish kadosh. Yeah?
That character in
Cancer,
I remember this
little bit.
There's no
turban. That's where his will come?
Yeah, same
idea. Okay, so I know it's Yish Kadosh, she said, and he's always coming here. Now, it didn't sound like yet he would stay there. He would always come and eat there, it says. So Natana Aliyas Kirkatana. Let us make for him an Aliyas Kirkatana. We'll see in a moment what that means. V'nasim le'sham mito v'shulchan v'chisei al-menayra. And we'll place there a bed, shulchan, a kisei, and a menayra. Whenever he's going to come to us, he'll go straight, he'll have his own private room there. Now it's interesting to note that in Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar it says that Elisha was such a ish kadosh that any lady who would look at him would die. Call Elisha shemistakel b'fnei Elisha would die. And we'll see later there will be exceptions to that rule, seemingly. But he was a scary person, Elisha.
So why not men
die? Not scary. I mean, scary in that eyes, and that person will die. They look at him. He's kaddish. Awesome is maybe the right word. Naira. Kaddish v'naira. So she said, you know, I have no problem with him coming to the house, but let's make him a place where he could go if he's going to constantly be here. So he should have his own place to be in the house. He doesn't have to be out in the open in front of everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
And she looked at him, she
did that? Well, I'm not sure yet if she looked at him, but we'll see later. We'll talk about it.
Well, she's getting him food.
So maybe she'll look at him.
She thought it was great. She thought,
like, she said any flies.
She thought, he's in her house.
Right, that's why she said, put him in a room. Right? It's getting too hard. Right. So now, Natana Aliyas Kir Katana. What's this Aliyas Kir Katana? This small Aliyas. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara. One person in the Gemara says that it was an Aliyah, second floor. They had a second floor on their house, but there was no roof on it. Just like a porch. So the Aliyas there, Kir means to put a roof on it. Let's put a roof on the second floor. And like a Lashon Tikra, Lashon of a roof, put it on there, and now he'll be able to go up there. We'll put a kisei and a mita and a shulchan and a menaira, and he'll have where to go. So Aliyas is the ikar. Aliyah is an attic, a second floor, kir, and we'll cover it over. The other person in the Gemara says no, achsadra hayu, which means that their house was one big room. It was a very big hall, like a big room. So a kir is a wall. Let's put a wall down the middle or somewhere down the room, and one side will remain ours and the other side will be his. So kir is a wall. It will divide the room and he'll have his own little corner in this room on the other side of the wall. Aliyas is a lashon of mu'ua shebebatim, which means it's a lashon of chashivus. Their house was the nicest house, or they were saying that we'll make it very nice. Aliyah means a nice place, ma'ula. But katana, if you notice, everyone agrees, katana, small little place, how much room does he really need? So was the day, one day, and again, this lashon vayihi hayoyim, again, was Rosh Hashanah. Vayav v'sham, he came, vayasa aliyah v'yishkav shama. And he came, and he went to his room, and he laid down there. This seems to be the first time he's actually using his new quarters.
It's the same day, though, so...
No, it's not the same day, it's a different day.
But it's also Rosh Hashanah?
It's also Rosh Hashanah, vayayim, it says again Rosh Hashanah.
Also...
Yeah.
Why did he only need to go here?
I don't know. He was constantly here, it sounds like. I don't know why. So Elisha says to Gehazi his nar. Gehazi was like his shamish, and he says, "Krala shunamis hazois, call the shunamis." By Yikrala, and he called her. Batama the fun of it, she stood in front of him. Now in the Pashup Shat here, he didn't talk to her. Because in the next pasuk we'll see, he tells Gehazi, go talk to her now, I have a message for her. Sounds like he called her, he looked at her, and he sent her off. So what was the point of this?
Who did he talk to? Elisha.
Oh.
Where did Gehazi?
He was with Elisha.
Yeah,
I don't know, it doesn't sound like it. Maybe he lived and stayed in the hotel, I don't know. So, the Rabag says that Elisha didn't want to speak with her. He didn't want to speak with a lady unless he would absolutely had to. So, the Rabag says he told Gehazi, call her. And she should just stand there, Batama Lufanov. And now, Elisha will tell Gehazi, go ask her a question, but he won't directly speak with her.
Why is it better for Gehazi to talk to a woman?
Because he's not as holy as Elisha.
And Elisha was like, well,
to what?
Because of, like, I'm too holy to talk to a woman.
Right. And women died when they looked at him. It wasn't like, I'm too holy. This guy, this was, it was precious. He was Ish Kaddish. That's what it was. It wasn't, you know, that was, it wasn't the Torah's anything against women, you know what I mean? It wasn't the anti-women. The Stifler, Zichron Livrach, also didn't allow women, except for a couple exceptions. He wouldn't even read, he was able to tell if the note was written by a woman and he wouldn't read it. He had to rewrite it. God, that's Kedusha from Gedalia. It's not a gaiva thing, that's what it is. Yeah?
Why did men die from looking at him? It was just like the thing of
Kedusha. I don't know. I have to look up here for the words, or maybe someone says, but that's what it says. Yeah?
Who was Gehazi? Like, is that the first mention of him? Or
yeah. He was an Arab. We'll see. He wasn't such a hot character, as I said.
He was just like Stamos.
I remember once there was a certain Gadol in Yisrael who had also like a Shamish who was, didn't always say over things exactly the way the Gadol actually said it. So I remember Rebellia once commented, he said, yeah, even Elisha had a Gehazi. So, you know, I can't blame the Gadol. They have it's interesting the Parshim don't really talk about why Elisha didn't chap. Like, well, what exactly, you know, we'll see Gehazi did some real funny things that were not so tzniastic and so this, and then you don't see that Elisha gave him Musar. I mean, I don't know exactly what the Mefarshim don't really address it, but that's the way it was. So fine. So he says, that's the way the Rabbag says. So he told Gehazi to talk to her. The Arbarbanel says, no. This is not connected to the next pasuk, like we said before. He told her, come here, and then he sent her away. And then he'll send her a message with Gehazi. Why did he have her come and stand? No, he did not talk to her. Stand here, the Barbanel says, come, call her. She stood in front of him. And then he said goodbye. And he didn't say goodbye, but that's it. The meeting was over. And the next pasuk will be a new issue. He'll send a message to Gehazi. Why did he tell her to come? He was giving her kavod for the chesed that she did for him. By calling her and having her come to him, it was as if he was saying, he didn't say the words, he was being makar taiva to her, and saying he appreciates this room here, and that was a thank you.
If he's so holy, why is he looking at a woman?
He didn't look, what did he look at her?
She did look at him.
What did he look at her?
She did look at him, but
Maybe she would have died, I don't know. We'll see in a minute, the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh says he was testing her. To see, now, I don't exactly 100% understand what happens if she's not Oymed in it. The only thing I could think of is that perhaps that it wasn't like, as a lady maybe came closer to Elisha, maybe she would feel like the Kedusha overcoming her, right? Or her neshama leaving her, or something like that. So she would stay away, perhaps. So Elisha wanted to see, does she have the kayach in Kedusha, in her Madrega, to be able to stand in front of him. Don't say that she looked at him, but to stand in his presence. Again, that's the thing, maybe, why would he want to risk her life? You know, if she can't, that she's going to die, well, that's a lot of akar satay, thank you very much, right? But Kuvi Shad is, it would be understood that she wouldn't be able to make it anywhere near the room if she wasn't roy for it. So he wanted to see if she's going to be right for an ace. As we'll see, he's going to do an ace for his new amyphis. He wanted to see what her madrega was, And the Pirkei Dereb Lezer, I think, says this, that he wants to see how kadosh she is, and if she can be able to stand in his presence, and then he'll be able to see how roy she is for a nes. So that's what happened to Levana. She stood in front of him, and she passed the test, and that's Isha Gedoyla, she was Isha Chashuva, she was a Yiras Chet, she was Isha Kedosha, and therefore she was able to stand in his presence.
Was
Daniel
often like this?
I don't know. Vayomer Lot. Now he told Gehazi, Emer Naila, go tell her, Hine Charadza Leinos Kalacharada Hazais. You're a matriarch yourself for us, a very big tircha. Melas is luck, what can we do for you?
Well, apparently he knew
already. He knew what?
What he could do for her.
How did he know?
Well, he
said she's right to do anything, but let's hear what she wants.
So he's saying this to her now?
He's sending her a message. You did a big bother for us. Now, the Mepharshim say, such a big bother. He gave her a kirk. She gave him this small little hole in the wall with a mita, shulchan, a kiser, a menaira. This is this charata elein with kol acharada hazais. So we'll talk about this a little bit more. We're going to go through the parak and then go back through it again. But the idea of Avram ben Arambam says that in a person's mind, even the smallest taiva someone does for you, when it comes to being makir that taiva, a person has to always look at it as if it was the biggest thing in the world.
That he does
on
our, like, for us.
Oh, it says
Elenu?
Yeah.
Because clearly
it's
not
being forgiven. Right. I don't know.
The royal
wheat. Right, because it's the royal wheat. I don't know. So, Melatis, what could we do for you? What could I do for you? Hayesh ledaber lach el ha-melech? Could perhaps we talk to the king for you? Ayel tzar ha-tzavr, to the general. And she said the famous words, "V'sayfami amaychi yeshavis." So, Pashup Shat, she was saying, "What do I? V'sayfami? I'm one of the people. I don't have anything to do with the king. I don't have anything to do with the general. I don't know. I stay home. I do what I'm supposed to. Well, there's no. I don't need anything. The king. You're going to go talk to the king for me." But the famous Zayar says, does I ask a question? What type of funny question is Elisha asking? What can we do for you? Should we talk to the king for you? To the general for you? What does a woman have to do by a king or a general? Does Zayar ask this? What does a lady have to do by the melech or the saratava? That's how Elisha poses the question. The same Zayar says, since it was Rosh Hashanah, Vayayayim, it was Rosh Hashanah, maybe I could be mispallel for you to the Rabbi Nishalaylam. I could do something for you. What does she answer? B'saycham yanaychi yeshavas. Says the Zayar that she did not want to be singled out at all. Even to Hashem, through Elisha, on the Yom Adin, she didn't want to be singled out. A person should remain b'saych ha-tzibur, amongst the tzibur, amongst the crowd. A person shouldn't be single himself out for special things, because when a person is singled out, the Rebbe Nishan starts focusing on them. Are they really roy? Are they not roy?
Is that how it is with Hashem? Like, aren't we always singled out?
There's a concept of a tzibur. Being amongst a tzibur is a sus. Even paishim in a tzibur, if the tzibur gets a good din, everyone can be pulled along with it. So that's this concept. So you understand, so she, on Rosh Hashanah, Elisha is offering to him a spala for her. She says, no, I don't want your tefillos. I don't want it. I remain with Klal Yisrael, b'sayich ha-tzibur, b'sayich ha-mi anaychi yeshavis.
Is this approaching a tzibur?
Why?
Is that
concept
or not?
Not really that concept. That's in actions. Here we're talking about. Yeah.
Is that a
very
There's a concept of a tzibur, yeah. Seichami on Efi Yeshavas. Comes to Rosh Hashanah, and the Mepharshim all talk about it. The Chazanish, and they asked him, when he was very sick, B'Seif Yamna, they asked him that they should go to all the yeshivas and tell them to daven. He said, no, B'Seichami on Efi Yeshavas. I don't want to be singled out. They go, me out, they daven for Kol Chayli Yisrael, and I'm included in that. There's this Hanhagas of B'Seichami on Efi Yeshavas. Except they're big enough to understand the whole concept, to understand when to use it. So just it's a, there's even on Rosh Hashanah there's a din on the tzibur, there's a din on the yachid. If you make yourself part of the tzibur, you could be zayich of a din. So kam yanoich your Shabbos. Okay, so she says, I don't want. Vayoy merumela atislo. She said, after Gehazi, she said, I'm not interested. So Elisha turns to Gehazi and says, so what should we do? Now you'll notice she didn't ask for a son. Right? She didn't ask for a child. Vayomer Gehazi, avobeinein lavisha zaken. Bisha, with the mouth of K. She doesn't have any children. Her husband is old, and according to one shot, she was old too. And that could be the reason why
she didn't ask
for a child, because he was offering to be a spalo for her. He didn't say, I'm going to make a mifis, and you're going to turn into a young lady again and have a child, or something like that. He said, is there anything I can be a mispalo for you? So, this is not something b'darach hateva. She was old, her husband was old, it wasn't happening. But Gehazi says, listen, Gehazi knew who Elisha was, and he said, he might as well try. I will bane in love, be sure, okay. So Bayoimer Krala. So he says, call her back here. Bayikrala Vatamir Bapasach. Again, he called her back and she stood in the doorway. Now why did he call her back here? So the Rabag and the Radaki Wamshat and the Malbim, they all say that what Elisha is gonna say now is a nevuah. He's going to tell her she's going to have a child. It wasn't a bracha, it was a nebuah. It seems the moment that Gehazi told Elisha that she doesn't have a child, Elisha got a nebuah from Hashem. And a nebuah, says the Radak, or says the Rabag, you have to say it to the person it's being said about. You find throughout the Nevi'im that they had a nebuah about a king, they would go to the king and they would say the nebuah. So if the nebuah is about her, call her and I'll say the nevuah, says Elisha. The Malbim throws in order for it to be Laman Yiskaya, in order for the nevuah to be chal, the person was about had to be there when it was being said. Not just because you're supposed to say a nevuah to the person it's about. In order for it to take effect, it has to be chal, it has to take effect on the person. Where's the person? So they have to be there at the time the nevuah is being said over. The Radak says a second shot, and he says, no, maybe this wasn't a nevuah, it was just a bracha on his own. He was mevaracher that she should have a child, and he was sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be Mekayim Devari. He was sure Hashem would listen to him. Like it says, Vayatzadik Vatigzer, Oimer Vayakam Lach, and when a tzadik's goyzer, Hashem is Mekayim it. And the Medrash says, Ritzoin Yirei of Yaseh, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam did the Ratzain of the Navi, and she had a child. So you see that the Medrash is saying Mefurash that it was not a Nevuah, it was Ratzain Yirei of Yaseh, and the Ratzain Yirei of Yaseh made it that she became expecting and she had a child.
So, and also it's brought up to come true, she had to be there?
Then it makes a lot of sense, yeah. You say a bracha to the person, it makes more sense than a Nevuah. No, Brock is chal much more when the person's in front. Kochem elai by Varchem, right? And like this parsha. Bring them to me and I'll be Mavarchem. A Brock is chal on the person much stronger if the person is right there. Kochem no elai by Varchem.
Right?
Nashon Ephraim? Right name what?
When you were talking about that, like, you said, you're not here when the God could do Brock.
Okay, but it's good to be there too, right? Right. I didn't say it doesn't work. I said it works better. Okay. So Vayomer, and he said either b'derach nevuah or b'derach bracha la'mayid hazeh ka'es chaya at chevekes ben. At this time, ka'es chaya. Ka'es chaya. Rashi says here, and I think he says it also in Vayera. Right, what does he say?
Something like that he didn't say
no comment. What? What does the word Ko'ez Chaya mean?
Like
at the same
there
time.
There will be light.
What? Just like what? Right, the grass is Kemoshat Kayemas Hayom Lushalom Kafia Kayemas Lamayrazeh. Just like you're alive now, we'll be alive then. Ko'ez Chaya, just like you're alive now. So he said Lamayrazeh this time, meaning next year, Ko'ez Chaya, just like Kemoshat Kayemas Hayom, so you will be Mikuyam Lamayrazeh, you'll be Kayam Lamayrazeh next year, and you'll have a child. That's the way Rashi learns. The Radak says the Lashon Chaya in Chazal means a lady who is expecting. A Chaya, it says, is allowed to wear Chaya Tinos HaSandal, it says in Yom Kippur, she's allowed to wear a shoe because it's dangerous for her to walk barefoot. So, but the Lashon Chaya is the Lashon lady who is expecting. So he said, the Lashon of the Radak is, L'mayir HaZeh, this time, at the time that you'll be able, that you'll be roy to give birth. Some ladies give birth after 7 months, some ladies give birth after 9 months. Whatever, whenever you are roy to give birth, you will be echaya, you will be giving birth.
Says
the Radak. What?
Not necessarily a year from now.
No, lamayir means a year from now. When you're ready to be a ledes, that could be 9 months from conception. It could be 7 months. Different ladies are different. And the Ralbag and the Malbim quotes it as a very interesting thing. He says, his lashon is La Moyed Shal Harega Hahayve. In a year, at this exact moment. This moment that is in the present, the Hoive, that is called Eis Chaya. The present is called live time. Why? Because in the past, that's dead time. It's over. Right? The future hasn't been born yet. So the only live time you have when you want to talk about time, that it's alive, is the present. The present is live. So that's Eis Chaya means that this moment in the present. Lamayid in a year is when you will have the child. Okay, so he said you will have at Chivekes then. You'll be hugging a child. Now, Chazal tells us who was this child? What? This was Chavakuk. The other was Elio. Chavakuk from the Lashon of Chayvekes. Asked the Mefarshim, so why don't you call him Chayvek? Why do you call him Chavakuk? What's the double kuf? So some Mefarshim say because really there was two huggings that happened to Chavakuk. There was his mother, and then when he died, Elisha had to go hug him to be Mechayim Eitzim. So the double kuf is Meramez on a double Chavakuk, is a double Chayvekes. But the name Chavakuk comes from the Lashon of Chayvekes, that's how the Nevuah was presented to her.
Why did she protest?
Atayimer, and she said, Adayni Yishalikim al techadze b'shif chasecha. She said, don't be mechazev b'shif chasecha. What does techazev mean? What?
Disappoint?
Yeah. Usually a kazev is a lie. But here most mefarshim say that the lashon techazev is a lashon of stopping. Dover ha-nifsak. Something that stops. Rashi says, Al tireni davar sheyifsay. She said, don't give me something that's going to stop. Yesh biyadcha levakesh rachmi v'inas en liben. You're able to give me a son. Ach bevakashim imcha al titam li ala ben shal kayama. It sounds like from Rashi that she somehow had a hergish that the child wasn't going to make it. And right away she said, if you're going to give me a child, don't give me a child that's going to stop. She had a hergish that the child was going to die. Rashi doesn't say exactly where she knew this from. She maybe her own Ruach HaKodesh, her own I don't know what. But she said, don't give me something that's going to be nifsak. The Malbim says she understood it from the words at chayvekes ben. You are going to hug a child. Which sounds like you're going to hug him, but loy shetarich yamim, yarich yamim, but he's not going to live for very long. Right, because the Malbim, because by Sarah it's a case chaya u'lisara ben, you'll have a son. So why did you say kais chaya, you'll have a son? Achivek is ben, you're going to hug your son. The answer was that she understood that it wasn't going to last. Maybe because she understood it was a nevuah. The Malbim learned it was a nevuah, so maybe she heard it in the nevuah that way. Rashi doesn't say it was a nevuah. Rashi says yesh biotcha levakesh rachamin. Sounds like it was a bracha, so he doesn't really say how she knew. That's the lashon of Techazeh. And the Malbim seems to try to explain Techazeh as stopping, and how it also means sheker at the same time. And the reason is, says the Malbim, because a kazav is something that stops and is not miskayim. Doesn't have a kiyum to it. Emes has a kiyum. Sheker doesn't have a kiyum to it. So she was telling him, I know that you're not being mishaker. I know you're not lying, I'm going to have a child. But if the child's going to die, meaning it's going to be nifsak, it's going to stop, so then the haftacha that you gave me is kazav. Kazav means that it didn't have a kiyum to it. It's not 100% sheker, but we could see how the word kazav turns into sheker if it sounds like from all the mafarshim that the real root of the word is adavar hanifsak. It doesn't have a kiyum. Sheker has no kiyum. So it sort of gets extended to mean sheker. And they're related to each other. So she was telling him, it's not going to be full sheker. Sheker doesn't even have a start to it. But if it's not going to have a kiyum, it's called kazav. Yeah.
It sounds like she's like answering her request, not like she's protesting from her. Like if Elisha asked her, if would you let me adopt for you to have a son?
He says that. He gave her a bracha, right?
But she can't. You can't stop a bracha.
Why not? I'm not interested.
It's just that. If you don't...
You're saying, it's not a bracha to me. Well, what's a bracha? A bracha is that the person is mispal that the thing should happen. The person doesn't... If you stop the tefillah from happening, it won't happen. I would guess.
But it happened. She didn't stop it.
What?
She didn't stop it from happening.
I don't know. I mean, once she said she doesn't want it, why did he continue?
Right.
If it was a nevuah, then yeah. Then, right. If it's a nevuah, then she didn't have it. Okay, I don't know, I hear. So, Vatara Isha Vatele Ben. So, things start moving a little quickly over here. She had a child. Lamaya Zeka Ischaya Shadibra Elisha Vaidala Yelet. Vaya Yoim. Child grew up. Was one day. Vayetze Lovela Kaitzim. Went out to his father, to the Kaitzrim. Vayemir Lovim Raishi Raishi. Vayemir Lanar Selimai. All of a sudden, starts saying his head hurts. So the father told one of the Naram, bring him back to his mother. And the child died. What? What should she do? She said, tell him. I mean, she probably administered, a wet washcloth. I don't know, whatever she did. So what did she do with this child? See the gvura of this woman. She took him and brought him up and put him on the bed of the ishalikim. She closed the door. She went out. She did not tell anyone what happened. The mafarshim say she didn't want to tell anyone. She didn't want to tell anyone, as we'll see in a moment. So she called her husband. Send me one of the Na'arim and one of the Asaynes. I gotta run out to the Yishalikim and I'll be back soon. So he says, Madua, why are you going? It's not Chodesh today. It's not Shabbos. And she says, goodbye. I once heard one of the... We'll see in a minute what it means. But it tells me, Shalom, Shalom, goodbye. Once heard an Israeli person, whatever, Talmud Chacham or someone says, what type of business is this? I was going to ask you, why are you going? Shalom, goodbye, you know. And it's interesting, you should know, it's a funny thing, the Svaradim, when they lay in this Haftarah in Parashat Vayera, this is where the Haftarah ends. It's beyond me, I have no understanding why. We, the Ashkenazim, go to the end of the story. And Shalom is just like you don't even, forget not ending the story, of all places to stop, like Imamish in the middle, everything, for some reason that's the end, that's where they stop the story. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, you would think they should end it. The whole point is that just like the Malachim came to Sarah, the Malachim that Elisha gave for a bracha. So you should end it after Pasuk Yud-Zayin, maybe. Finished. Ashadibra Elisha finished. Don't start the next story where he dies. For some reason, I don't know who exactly, obviously, Chazal, whoever made it up. It stopped there. But it's an interesting thing. Why the Sfarim stop over there. But anyway, so she didn't want to say where she's going. She didn't. So this was a very brisk person. The person who said this var was Brisker Rav's son. He says, what kind of midas was it? So he said, very cute vart. He said that, what's she going to tell her husband? Our child died, and I'm going to the Navi to be Mechayim Eisim. The Navi of Mechayim Eisim. So tonight he's not going to laugh. He'll say, "Hi, Mason. You have a mitzvah. Cover sick perenna by Yaimahu. You have to bury the child. The mitzvah says that someone dies, you have to bury them. What are you going run to be Mechayim Mason? We have to mitzvah to be Mechayim right now." So she knew her husband wouldn't be maskin to the tchias Mason because he'd rather be Mechayim the mitzvah. Cover sick perenna by Yaimahu. So he wouldn't have been. She had no eitzah but to say shalom goodbye.
How is she so sure that he would do
tchias Mason? So. The truth is, the Meshach Chachma over there in the Haftarah Parashas Vayera says, whose chus was it that Elisha was able to Mechayim Eisim here? And he says, by Eliyahu it says, Vayishma Hashem b'kol Eliyahu. It says, when Eliyahu Davin, the pasuk over there that we saw, it says, Vayishma Hashem b'kol Eliyahu. It doesn't say that over here by Elisha. And the Meshach Chachma says, it was not Elisha's chus. It was his chus of the Amunas Chachamim, of the Isha Shunamis, that gave Elisha the Kayah to be Mechayim Eisim. And we'll see in a moment that Hashem gave her an Isayan, because when she came to the Isha, to Elisha, Elisha said, go ask her how the child is. She's going to Mechayim Eisim. If Elisha doesn't even know, he's a Navi, he doesn't even know the child dies, what chance is there that he is on the Madrega of Mechayim Eisim? That was an Isayan for her. Would she say to herself, I got the wrong address. If he doesn't even know the child died, I'm going to ask him Mechayim Eisim. Or no, she withstood the test and she was Ayman in her Amunah, in the Amunah's Chachamim, and that Kayach gave Elisha the Kayach to be Mechayim Eisim. It was her Amunah's Chachamim and Elisha. Chaim Kanievsky in his Sefer, Parchas Yaisha, which is a Musa Sefer that he wrote, so he brings down this Meshach Chachma, and he says, it's in a chapter called Ruach HaKadosh, he says that a lot of times the Kayach of a Gadol in giving a bracha or giving information or giving a Eitzah is dependent on the Amunah that the Shayel has. Now, it's not anyone. You can't come to me with the big Amunas Chachamim in the world and I won't get Ruach HaKadosh. It just won't work. I'll tell you right now. But he says in a different Sefer, in the Sefer HaGain, where it's told us on the Vilna Gain, they asked the Mestira that he said anyways, but basically, they write over there that he said, a person who's already on the Madrega of Ruach HaKadosh, but if you're on the Madrega, at least Bezman and there, Ruach HaKadosh, doesn't mean you get it all the time. Right? It doesn't mean you have a constant thing. It comes, it goes. So what does it depend on? It's possible that it could depend on the Amunah that the Shoyal has for you. You can't just go to anyone and have the biggest Amunah in the world and they won't get their Ruach HaKadosh. That's not the way it works. But someone, Shekvar Hifiol of Ruach HaKadosh, someone who's ready on that Madrega, a lot of times the Hatzlacha is dependent on the Kayach of the Amunah of the Shoyal. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said in the Shmuz once that he knows Rebbe's Bizman Azeh in his days, which wasn't so long ago, as Yartza was a couple of days ago, it wasn't so long ago that he says, he knows Rebbe's that they have the Kayach to be Mechayim Eisim, Bizman Azeh. He says, but he also knows that he's a lot bigger than them. And he knows much more tired than them. And he can't be Mechayim Eisim, that much I'll admit. He says, what's the difference? The difference is that the Chassidim to a Rebbe that the emunah that they have in him, they're able to be mile him to such a madrega that they could do very big things. That is just a concept of having when to be shoyel, when you shoyel for an eitzer or bracha, it may depend the hatzlacha that the person has and giving you the gadol has and giving the bracha the eitzer may depend on how much you really are trusting and believing that he has the kayach to give you the right information. Okay, we will continue next time.
Thank you.